All right, praise the Lord. What date's today?
First.
First, okay, this is the 1st of March. That's wonderful. Soon be St. Patrick's Day. I'll have to get my green hat out. 17th of March is St. Patrick's Day. That's good. All right, tonight I want to just talk to you briefly in the time that we have. We're not going to go long tonight, but, well, we don't know yet what God might do. But I hadn't planned to go long. We want to talk to you about this fact that we must believe and not doubt. Believe and not doubt. I used to have a statement on my all of the tapes that we put out in the days that we used cassette tapes. Now everything's CDs. We don't have tapes anymore. Delete or take off all our doubts, starve all our doubts to death, and get our believing up. And basically, that's what I want to say to you tonight, that you need to, the doubts and the worries and the fears and the frustrations that you have there in the natural realm, we need to get rid of those and begin to live the life that God has called us to. And see, so many people, even in churches today, they're at crossroads in their lives. You know, they're at a crossroad. They've come up against a situation, and now where do I go? Do I go that way? Do I go this way or that way? Or do I go back again? And people are facing these crossroads in their lives, and we can look back perhaps and see all the old traditions that we've had because we were brought up, raised in a particular denomination, and they think a certain way. But God says, I'm doing a new thing. There's a new thing in your life today. That's why you're coming to these meetings, and God is touching many of you, and your lives are changing. And I could go around there and talk to you, and I know that a number of you are better off financially since you've come here, and I know a lot of you are healthier since you've come here because of the emphasis that we put on finance and the emphasis that we put on health and things like that. Now, just because we teach health and preach it, it doesn't mean to say that you're never going to get sick. You're going to have that opportunity probably every day of your life. Because, you know, when you get out of bed, you got a bit of a headache or your nose is running, you think, I'm going to take the flu, or you can say, I'm going to take a dose of health. Life is a choice. And so our choice is every day we're just going to live in health. Because if you remember, Jesus said in John 19 and verse 30, in fact, let's just go to that one, seeing that's a good reference. You probably know it very well, but I'll just read it to you again. John 19, 30. This is a time when Jesus was hanging on the cross. Now, I know a lot of you know the scriptures, but we just want you to see them in your Bible, if you've got a Bible. John 19, verse 30, and this is what it says, Jesus speaking. It says, when therefore he had received the vinegar, you know, they put the vinegar on the sponge, or it says the hyssop, and they gave it to him, and because he said he was thirsty, then he said, it is finished. Now, he didn't mean the vinegar's finished. That's not what he meant. What he said was, it is finished, and he bowed his head, and it says he gave up the ghost, or he gave up his spirit. His spirit went back to be with the Father. See, he was a natural man at that point in time. And we've taught you all these things many times before, that Jesus, the Son of God, became Jesus, the adopted son of Joseph, the son of Mary of Nazareth. And then when he died as a man. But when he was raised again on that first Easter morn, he was raised as the Christ, the Son of the living God. And we have teaching on that. And if you don't understand it, you should get a hold of that from us and rehash it and go through it and make sure you understand it. So it's important then we understand these things, that when Jesus said it is finished, what he's saying is that the old or the traditional, all the things behind us, the things that we are no longer to think about, that's all finished. It's all over. All the back things, whatever your background was, Robert, and I don't know, but whatever it was, if you were in XYZ church, whatever it was, that's finished. You're no longer there because God has taken you from that. Now, I'm not saying he's brought you to Family Faith Center. I'm glad he has. But what I'm saying is he's taken you to a new level of understanding. He's shut off some of the background. I was raised in the Presbyterian church. And all the Presbyterians said, okay. Now, I've got to be careful what I say because my son-in-law is a Presbyterian pastor. Not this one, I have another son-in-law. But I used to always say, well, the Presbyterians are God's chosen, frozen people. But because I came from there, so I know what it's like. All right, so he's saying that all our past is finished. It's over, it's done with. And the things that we used to do, we don't do anymore. The way we used to think, we don't think that way anymore. We now think according to the Word of God. And I like it when Naomi talks about the love that she has for the Word of God. You know, if she believed her body, she'd be in bed today. But see, she's not believing her body. She's believing the Word of God. You probably don't understand this, some of you. But for about a week and a half, she's been in agony. She's standing up here worshiping God and doing all those things by faith. Do you understand what I'm saying? See, you push through these things. The number of times where, you know, I've had aches and pains and all the rest of it, I just choose to ignore them and get on with it. I mean, there's been times, let me give you one little instance. Just this is personal. I was in America, and I took a pain right here, just about the level of my belt. And I was preaching in America and Texas. And I had this ache. Oh, it was so sore. I mean, I was in agony. And I thought, this must be my appendix. I don't even know where my appendix is, but this is where I was feeling the pain. I'm thinking appendix. And I thought, no, stop it, Norman. Don't think appendix. Think health. Think healing. I'm in meetings, and I'm praying for people, and God's healing them, but I'm in agony. I'm in pain. And so I phoned Elizabeth from Texas to, where were we living? Bandura, I think, then. Same house, okay. So I phoned to Mill Park, chatted to her on the telephone, and told her about this and said, you need to pray for me. And then the phone went dead. I passed out in the motel. And then she had to phone the motel back, and they were going to get an ambulance to come and see what was wrong with me in the motel room. But by the time the guy from the motel desk came back to me, I'd come back again and I was okay. I was still in pain. And the pastor's wife, who was a nurse at that particular church, she said, I've got a little bottle of stuff here. If I give this to you, it's what we give to people before they have an operation. And it's a clean out. She said, you may need a clean out. But she says, I have to warn you, when you go to put this bottle to your mouth, make sure you're sitting on the toilet. Because it works real fast. And I can tell you today, it worked real fast. I took her advice, I sat down, drank the thing, and within seconds, bang, it was working. But I still had the pain. And so, I mean, all it did was clean me out. I preached on, did several more meetings, got on the plane, came home again. I was like Al Bundy. I had my hand stuck. Now, some of you don't know who Al Bundy is. I had my hand stuck in the top of my pants. I was aching. Came home. Elizabeth said, I better take you to the doctor. So we went to the doctor, saw my doctor who's over in Diamond Creek. He examined me. He says to Elizabeth, he said, I want you just to go and get an ultrasound. And he said, I'll be operating on him tonight because this guy is a heart surgeon. And he says, I'll be operating on Norm tonight. That's how serious it was. So we go down to the ultrasound. Okay. Free plug for UltraTune. Go down to the ultrasound. They did all, you know how they do, they put the goo all over you. And anyway, I had that. And Elizabeth, she's just praying away. And gradually, as she's praying for me, the pain began to go. And by the time we got back to see the doctor again, my pain was gone. And I've never had it since. I'm sorry, Lord. Yeah, he didn't have to use the knife, she said. Didn't have to cut me open. But what am I saying? I had to press through. Put up with the pain and press through into the healing. It took a while, and it took someone else to pray with me. Now, the natural remedy that the pastor's wife gave me didn't help the pain. It probably cleaned my colon out and did a few other things, but it didn't help the pain at all. So what I'm saying is that sometimes we have to renew our thinking and push through the pain and the ache and all of those things. Push through the situation. Don't talk about the problem. Talk about the answer. When Jesus talked to people, you know, they'd say, oh, can you come pray for my daughter? He'd say, yeah, we can do that. And they'd say, well, she's dead. He'd say, no, she's not. She's only sleeping. Do you understand what I'm saying? So we have to talk answers, not problems. We need to be people then who realize that it's finished. Jesus paid the price for us to be well. You are not supposed to have sickness in your body. Now let me say this, and I want you to understand, and I'm not trying to be difficult or hard or anything like that. You're not supposed to have sickness in your body because Jesus took the sickness, the pain, the ache, whatever it is, He took it on His body at Calvary and He said, it's finished. Now, does He tell lies? No? Okay, therefore, that's the truth. And He said in John chapter 8 and verse 32, you will know the truth. And when you know that truth and operate in it, it will set you free. So listen to me. If you have a pain or an ache, it's a lie. Now, it may be real. It may be painful, but it's still a lie. It's not the truth. The pain doesn't set you free. It's the truth that you believe that sets you free. And so you believe the truth, and we say, thank you, Lord, for the truth. And so it's a choice. And how many times have I told you over the last few months that life is a choice? How many of these of you have a choice that Tom chose to put on his... what color is that? Red? Maroon. He chose to put on his maroon pullover today. That was a choice. Chose to put on this short sleeve little white shirt. Choice. See, it's a choice. Mark combs his hair a certain way. That's a choice. He does that because that pleases him. It may not please Joy, but it pleases Mark. See, he combs his hair. I brush my hair a certain way. Pleases me. The way that I'm happy with it. Do you know what I'm saying? See, everything you do is a choice. It's a choice to get up in the morning. Or a choice to lie in bed. Say, but I'm tired. Oh, you can get over the tiredness. You know, just get up out of bed. I'm awake every morning, 5:30, 6 o'clock. And, get out there and start doing some things in my office. That's just how I am. I like to get these things done early in the morning because I like to be having my coffee by about 9 a.m. I meet with my son and we have coffee. So I've got all the work done before that, and then the other things that I do through the day, that'll be done afterwards. Now, that's all just information. It's not necessary. But God's word is to be the only authority in every situation in your life, George, whatever the situation is, whether it's a situation with marriage, whether it's a situation with health, whether it's a situation with finance, whatever it is, the word of God is the answer, and it's to be the final situation for you. You've got to take God's word for it. If you have a financial problem, God tells you how to deal with it. He says, sow a seed, you reap a harvest. Now, as I said, many of you are in line for good harvest because you've really sown. So many of you know those. We've taught you those things. But the same principle works in health. Do you realize that if you have any sickness in your body, if you find somebody else who's sick and you just pray for them, you can get healed? Because as you give and allow the anointing, and I find this... There's been times, and none of you would know this, sometimes Elizabeth doesn't even know, I'd be standing here, and I don't feel like I want to stand here at all. You know, I just feel, I could be anywhere else right now. I've got a headache, I'm not feeling well, whatever. But you know, the moment I start to move in the anointing, the moment I begin to release myself to the Holy Spirit, that all lifts. And I can just go on for several hours, and it doesn't bother me at all, as many of you know. But if I listen to my body, I just sit down and say, somebody else can do it today. But I can't do that because I would be denying the thing that God has called me to do. And so we need to push those things to the background. So the word is the authority. Now, what does 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7 say? Anyone quote it? We walk by faith and not by sight. Good man, Mark. Mark knows a lot of these. He's heard me preach them and he's heard other preachers preach them over the years, so he's heard a lot of that. But we can hear it, but it's got to get inside of us, not just where we can say it, but where it becomes a reality. In other words, we really start to understand the fact that we walk by faith. We even sing a chorus about it. We walk by faith, each step by faith. But that's every step, every day, all day long. Every step is by faith. We don't walk by what we feel. We don't walk by what our body's telling us. We don't walk by what's in our wallet or what's in our bank account. We walk by faith in what God says about those situations. So we say, thank you, Lord. Every step we take, we're walking in the Word of God. We're walking on the Word of God. And you know when Peter stepped out of the boat, he didn't step out onto the water. He walked on the water, but he really walked on the word that Jesus gave him, which was, come. You know the story. Jesus is walking on the water. Peter looks out and says, if that's you, Lord, bid me come. Jesus said, come. So he stepped out of the boat. He started walking on the word. Now you know and I know it's impossible to walk on water. Water won't hold you up, but the word will. So he's walking on the word, but he takes his eyes off the word and starts looking at the water. And he gets a sinking feeling and he begins to go down. He sees the storm, he feels the waves. He's paying more attention to the circumstances than he is to the word that Jesus gave him, which was, come. And he's saying the same thing to every one of us tonight. Come, start to walk out here where I am. That's in the Spirit. Begin to walk in the Spirit is what he's saying. Come out here to where he is. Get into that place where you're depending on him. See, for too long, we've been depending on the pastor. We've been depending on the government. We've been depending on our wife or our husband. We're depending on our grandparents or whoever it is. You can't do that. How many times have I told you, if you're an older person, if you're in our age bracket and you're already on the pension, you need to get away from being saying that, well, John Howard, or in this case, Kevin Rudd, as it now is, Kevin Rudd is going to look after me. I got news for you, he's not. He can't. He's giving it all away. And he's not giving any to the pensioners. How many countries across the world are going bankrupt? How many banks are closing down around the world? See, you can't depend on that system. You've got to get into another system. What system am I talking about? I'm talking about the kingdom of God system. You've got to get in the kingdom, live in the kingdom. See, we don't live. Man, I'm going to get my whiteboard. I hadn't planned to do this, but anyway, here we go. Wonderful. Now I'm happy. Thank you. Anyone at all. That's great. Thank you. Now we got this whiteboard for this very purpose, for using. Now, what am I going to tell you? I'm going to tell you that we don't live in the world. We're in the world, but we're not off it, is what the Scripture tells us. So we're in this world. We live here, wherever it is, in South Morang or whatever. So I trust you can see from where you are, and we'll do that. You might have to get another one. That's not very... Okay. So this is you. And that's wherever you live. All right, can you see that? That's your house. Looks just like it, doesn't it? But see, this is the world. We live in the world, but we're not off the world. We're in the world, but we're not off it. We belong to another kingdom. We belong to a kingdom which is way over here somewhere, and it's called the kingdom of God. That's where we really live. But God has sent us in here to do a job. And our job is to live the life while we're here and to win other people to come to the kingdom. The whole message is the kingdom that we're in is better than the kingdom of the world. The devil is the god of this world. That's 1 Corinthians 4 and 4. The Bible also says he's the prince of the power of the air. So he's the god of this world. This is the devil's territory. So we are in the devil's territory. And that's why we have sickness and poverty and all of these difficult problems that come up from time to time. But we don't belong there, and we're not going to stay there. We're going to go out of that one of these days when you expire or whatever happens to you. You will be going back into this kingdom where God is permanently to be with him forever. But in the meantime, you live your life here from there. Anybody listening to me? So we live our life in the world from the kingdom of God. In other words, in this kingdom, there are rules. There are rules in the kingdom. The rules of this kingdom dictate what we do in that kingdom. What are the rules of God's kingdom? Here it is. The God of this kingdom is truth, is love, is all those things. He's not a liar, so he tells the truth. So the rules that he's placed in this kingdom, we have to use them in this kingdom where we're actually living right now. I trust you can follow all these scribbles. And the God of this kingdom, who is the devil, he is a liar. John chapter 8. Verse 44 and 45. He's a liar. Jesus said there's no truth in him at all. So when he puts sickness on you, because you're in this kingdom living, you have to live out of this kingdom. This kingdom says, by the stripes that went on the back of Jesus, you were healed. So we say, thank you, Lord. We're taking our leading from over here. We may live here, but this is where we give allegiance to. You know that if you live in this country or you come into this country, you become, what's the word? Citizen. Is that right? Citizen? You become a citizen of Australia. In this case, you live in the world, you live here, but you're a citizen over here. You're a citizen of God's kingdom. So therefore, now listen to me. Everything that you do here relates to there. You have a passport for that country, for that realm, for that kingdom. Just like because you live in Australia, you have an Australian passport. When we came here, we had to make a choice. Are we going to remain as Irish people? Praise the Lord for all the Irish people. Or do we become Australian citizens? So we chose to become Australian citizens. We have Australian passports. And so we now live in Australia. We are part of the Australian culture. We're Aussies by adoption. But even though we're Aussies by adoption, I still take my leading from the kingdom of God. I'm here by invitation. I'm here because I made a choice to be here. Elizabeth and I made a choice to be in this place, and we're here. So we no longer belong to Ireland. We actually no longer, even though we live here, belong to Australia. We belong to the kingdom of God. And that's, you should be the same way. You should be part of the kingdom. You should be living in the kingdom of God. You should live in the world out of the kingdom of God. In other words, you live your life using the rules and the regulations and the economy of this realm. This God, the God of this world, is a liar. There's no truth in him at all. As I said, sickness in your body, it's a lie. You don't have to believe it. I mean, it's hard not to when your body's aching and you got pain. It's hard not to say, I have a pain, but it's still a lie, so don't tell lies. Some of you are looking at me. Are you getting what I'm trying to tell you? You see, we really do belong over here. Our God is a God of love. Our God is a God of truth. We don't serve this God who's a liar. He's the God of this world, the devil. So we don't serve him. He's not our father. He used to be. But once we got born again, we transferred our allegiance over to this kingdom. Just like Elizabeth and I and Ian and our other daughter, not this one, she was born, she's a born Aussie, but the other one was born in Ireland. And when we came out here, we transferred our allegiance from Northern Ireland or Great Britain, we transferred it to Australia. But when people get born again, they transfer from the world to the kingdom of God. Now, I choose to live my life by the financial system in the kingdom of God rather than the kingdom of the world. If I believed the kingdom of the world, I'd just go sit in the corner and say, woe is me, it's terrible. Everything bad is happening. It's a terrible place to be. Isn't it bad? I mean, look at all these fires. Look at all these atrocities that are happening around the world. Did you read about this? Did you read about that? Did you see in the newspaper? If we believed all that stuff, and let me tell you, I read the newspaper, but do you know that newspapers never print any good news? They only print stuff that sells newspapers. They're in the business of selling newspapers, not giving you good news. So even though you live in Epping or Layla or Thomastown or wherever you live, you're in the world. But you need to live your life from over here, using the kingdom of God rules, using what the Word says about you. What does 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 say? Come on, I know somebody other than Mark knows. Okay, 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, if any man, or when they say man, it means person. If any person is in Christ. Oh, if any person is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. And behold, what's the next word? All things have become new. And all these new things are of God. So when we received Christ and came into Christ, we transferred our allegiance from this fellow. Oh, we got a red one there? We have. We transferred our allegiance from the devil over to God. We changed and we became new creations. Now listen to me. If you don't know this, I'm going to tell you something. How many of you are new creations? Just raise your hand. That's just about everybody in the place. Now, some of you may not fully understand this, but if you're a new creation, Helen, you have no past. The past is gone. Old things are passed away. You don't have a past unless you choose to bring it up and acknowledge it. May we all have a past for something that we did. You know, and you know my story. I used to be a bouncer and a policeman and all those things. And so I have a past, but I choose to not acknowledge it. I choose to acknowledge that my past is gone. I'm now a son of God. I'm a son of the living God. He's guiding my life. I am a new creation. In fact, if you go on a few more verses in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and go down to verse 21, it says this, that he, Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin, that we, you and I, might become the righteousness of God in him. So I'm looking at righteousness. Isn't that good, Josie? You are the righteousness of God. Robert, you're the righteousness of God. Gemma, you're the righteousness of God. I'm looking at righteousness. Hallelujah. When you look in the mirror in the morning, you need to see, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Now, your nose may be running and your hair may be all over the place like Mark's is in the morning, but you need to say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I am more than a conqueror. I can do all things through Christ. What are you doing? You're setting yourself up for the day. Isn't that right, Mark? You're setting yourself up for a good day. But if you start to acknowledge what you can see, then you're setting yourself up for trouble. Because what you see with your natural eyes is not what your spirit eyes tell you. Go back a chapter. We were chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Go back to chapter 4. Now, we've used these verses before. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, well, 15. Go back to 2 Corinthians 4, 15. This is what it says, King James Version. It says, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not. Listen to this. Though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. So that means the bit that we see on the outside, it's getting older, it's getting gray, it's decaying. I don't know if, you know, when you get to my age, you probably find you're not quite as trim, taut, and terrific as you used to be. Elizabeth married me, I was very handsome. I'm still handsome. But she married me because I was handsome. Now all she says is, handsome over. All right. So, the inward man is renewed day by, that's your spirit man. What do I mean? I mean that as you get this information, as you get these messages that we teach and other stuff that you get obviously from other places, as you grow in that, then your inward man is renewing day by day. The outward man's getting older. Did you realize that, young George? You're getting on. I mean, here you are. Look at you. You're getting on. The next verse says, listen to it, verse 17. He says, for our light affliction. Could be cancer. Amen, couldn't it? Our light, you've been healed from cancer. Could be cancer. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Now that's talking about, I've said this to you a few weeks ago, your condition. What you can see is your condition. And then it says, while, verse 18, first word, while. That's a conjunction. That's some follow on. Don't just stop off at 17. Go on to 18. He says, while we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things which are unseen, for the things which are seen are temporal, and the things which are unseen are eternal. So we need to stop looking at what the mirror is telling us in the bathroom morning by morning, and start looking at the mirror of God. Look into God's mirror and see what he says. That you can do all things through Christ, that you're more than a conqueror, the greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world, and so on. So when you start saying those things, Daniel, the cold goes, the anointing comes, and you start living at what God says you are. You live at the level that he says, not the level that your body's telling you. See, that's the problem. We're at this crossroads. And the choice is, are we going to acknowledge that this is the reality of our situation, or are we going to acknowledge that this, look at me, is the reality of our situation? The word is the reality. It's real, Tina. It doesn't matter what you think about. I'm telling you, you have to worry about members of your family. This is where the rubber meets the road. It's not what they say or what they do or what they don't do. That has nothing to do with it. And you could have every member of your family sitting here with you on a Sunday if you'd start saying what God says about them. If your husband doesn't come along, don't berate your husband and put him down and say, oh, you need to come to church. Just live the life. Put your hand on his pillow at night and say, Father, when Joe, Jack, Sam, whatever his name is, lays his head on this pillow, let him know that I love him and let him know that you love him. And he lay down there and you wonder what's happening. The love of God will get all over him. Why? Because the anointing's on you and it's got on the pillow and it'll get on him. We've seen so many girls get their families into churches just by doing simple things like praying over her husband's shirt when she's ironing his shirt. Father, when he puts this shirt on, let him know your love. And their lives are changed. See, it's not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Zechariah 4 and verse 6. So it has to be a work of the Spirit of God. It has to be the anointing. Because it's the anointing, listen to me, that destroys the bondage, the yoke of bondage. And if you'll acknowledge the anointing on you and then let it get all over him or your wife, as the case may be, husband or wife, whichever way your situation is, when you let that anointing get over them, they'll not understand what's happening. I've told you many stories about people that, you know, we've just allowed the anointing to flow out of us and get over real estate agents, and they've given us deals that they didn't understand why they're doing that. Amazing, you know, when you just say, well, this is what I want to do, and he said, yeah, okay, that'll be fine. And I mean, he's maybe lost $25,000 in the deal, but he's okay. Why? Because of the anointing. See, God will take you to, like Naomi said tonight, did you hear what she said? Dad always says, you ladies, when you go through the vegetable department, all the lettuces should just crisp up because of the anointing. Now, you lie, you think that's crazy, but that's true. You may say, I've never seen him. Have you ever believed it? So we are the righteousness of God. We have the anointing on us. The anointing is greater and is stronger than any situation that you may find yourself in. Now, let me just look at a couple more scriptures with you. Romans chapter 14, Paul's letter to the church at Rome, not the Roman Catholic Church, but the church at Rome, the Christian church at Rome. Romans 14, is that what I said? Yes. In Romans 14, in verse 13, it says this, "Let us not therefore judge one another any more. But judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way." So the problem then so many times is we become, Romans, isn't that Romans 14? Verse 13? Okay. We become so heavenly minded as far as our family is concerned that they think we're no earthly use. But we have to live the life. We still have to just be the people that God has called us to be. We have to live that life. We need to pray for them. Now, you don't go to your husband or your wife and say, oh, I'm praying for you that God's going to save you. Don't tell them that. Just pray for them. Just believe God. Now, it says over in chapter 13, the last verse of chapter 13, this is Romans 13, 14. That was 14, 13. This is 13, 14. Okay, so that's just go back a few, one page probably. It says, "But put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof." The Amplified Bible says, "But clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ," that is the Messiah, "and make no provision for indulging in the flesh. Put a stop to thinking about the evil cravings of your physical nature to gratify its desires and its lusts." See, when you start complaining about, I have a pain, I have an ache, what you're doing is you're satisfying the lust of the flesh. Just because it says lust, it doesn't mean some of the things that we think it's talking about. Your body's crying out for attention. I mean, you just try walking past the Ferguson's patisserie, you know, the Ferguson Plarry, with all their cream cakes. And you walk past there and your body will tell you that you need a cream cake. And it will tell you it has to be a big one. And that you should buy it right now. And that you should eat it immediately. Don't take it home to share it with your wife. Eat it now. In fact, get a coffee and enjoy it. That's what your body will tell you. But you see, your body's a liar. Because it tells you the same thing about sickness. It tells you you have a pain. So you don't want to believe that. You don't believe the things that your body tells you. Now take note of them. Because, listen to me, if you're not getting healed by faith, go to the doctor. Going to say it again, because see, when we teach these messages, people say, oh, Norm said that you just believe God and you never go. I didn't say that. I said, if you're not getting healed by your faith, go to the doctor. Let him tell you medically what's wrong with you. Then you know what to pray about. Take it back to God. Now you've got an expert opinion. I mean, he went to university for 7 or 13 years or however long it takes you to become a medical doctor. And he'll tell you, well, you've got this and this and this, and if we don't do something in the next 3 days, you're going to die. You know, so you don't really need that kind of news. You need the good news, is which says you live and not die and declare the glory of God, which is what God is saying. So we need to be people then who believe the word of God. Now, let's just try and finish. We've got a few minutes. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, go down to... Well, we can start at verse 1. That's a good place to start. Ephesians 2, verse 1, this is what it says. And you hath he quickened. Now, if you got a Bible that is got some explanation in it, it will show you that those words, hath he quickened, are in italics. Okay, that means it's just in a script print. That means that the translator put it in there to try and help you to understand it. It wasn't necessarily in the original. What it really says, and you who were dead and in trespasses and sins. So he's talking to people in the church at Ephesus who had been dead in trespasses and sins. But the translator put in that little bit, you hath he quickened. Now hath he quickened means you hath he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. Where in times past, verse 2, you walked according to the course of the world. Okay, remember we said according to the course of this fellow here. Okay, we walked according to this one. That's where we all were. It says, according to the prince of the power of the air. That's the devil. He's the prince of the power of the air. And it says, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. Now, he's talking to people in the church. He's not writing to the world. He's writing to the Christian church at Ephesus. And that includes you and me, because the letters are to the churches. We're part of the church over the world. Verse 3, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past. That means we all had our conversation. It doesn't mean what you say. It means your manner of life. So we all had our manner of life in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others. But verse 4 gives us the key. First word, but God. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. When we were dead in trespasses and sins, hath he quickened. When we were dead, he quickened us or made us alive. We were dead, but he made us alive. Listen to it now. It says, God is rich, for with his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath he quickened or made us alive with Christ. By grace are you saved. And he hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, do you getting that? You are now seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus at the right hand of God. But you say, Norman, I'm sitting here in this hall. Yeah, I know you are. But remember we said, we're living in this world, but we live it from this one. We belong to another world. We don't actually belong here. We're part of the kingdom of God. We live in this world from that one. In other words, we take our direction from that one. We get our finances from that one. Everything about us relates to that one, but we live over here. And then he says, even when we were dead, in verse 5, even when we were dead, hath he quickened or made us alive. By grace you saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That in the ages to come, listen to it, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. God wants to point to you and say, look what I did for them. He wants to use you as an example of the things that he can do for other people. For by grace you are saved through faith, not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. See, nothing you ever did got you saved. It's just a gift. If I put my hand in my pocket and pull out $2 or whatever I have, there's $4, I could say, there's $4, Nancy. And she's, knowing Nancy, she said, oh, no, Dr. Campbell, don't do that. I know what she's like. So that's why I've just said her rather than someone else, because someone else may say, yes, I'll just take it. But it's a gift. I'm not looking for her to give it back to me. I'm giving it. And so it is with God. He has given us this free gift of salvation. It's free. It's not of works. None of us will ever be able to stand before God and say, look what I did. Look how good I am. None of us are good enough. We can't make it. We never will. See, it's not what you do or don't do. It's what He did. For we are His workmanship. I like this verse. This is verse 10. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Let me read the Amplified Bible, verse 10. For we are God's own handiwork. We are His workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which He predestined and planned before, listen to it, beforehand for us, taking the paths which He prepared ahead of time, that we should live, we should walk in them, living the good life which He prearranged and made ready for us to live. He prearranged and made ready for us the good life in the kingdom, but we're to live the good life in the world now. Now you can begin to perhaps see why we tell you that you are more than a conqueror, that you have all things that pertain to life and godliness, that greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. You're living your life in the world, in Thomastown or Layla or wherever it is, but you're relating to the kingdom of God. You're a citizen of this kingdom, but you live in this one. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 18 that we are ambassadors for Christ. We are ambassadors for Christ. What does an ambassador do? He represents his country. When Elizabeth and I were in New Zealand, and I had, in the previous year I had been there, I met the ambassador for the Cook Islands. When I was in New Zealand and had been in his home. And then when Elizabeth went the next year with me, we went and visited them again. They're involved with the Cook Island churches, and they were having a convention. And because I was in New Zealand, they asked me to speak at the convention, which I did. And there were about 100 Cook Island pastors and pastors' wives in the meeting. I preached to them for an hour or an hour and a half, whatever it was. And then the Holy Spirit said, I want you to make an altar call. Now, I'm preaching to ministers. And so I made an altar call. And 47 ministers put up their hand to get saved. Think about that. Here are men serving the Lord, dressed in white suits and a maroon surplus, is what the colors they wore. Serving God, but not even born again. Sad, isn't it? But I tell you, they're born again now. They came out of this kingdom and moved into this one. But the point I want to make is this, that when we were in the ambassador's house, the week before, he had been sitting at a table with Queen Elizabeth and Prince Philip. And when they introduced Elizabeth and I at this convention, they said, we're so thrilled to have Dr. and Lady Campbell with us today. So this is Lady Campbell. But the point is this, the ambassador for the Cook Islands represented the Cook Islands before the government of New Zealand. He knows all about the Cook Islands. He knows all about their economy. You and I are ambassadors. We are ambassadors for this kingdom, but we live in this one. Do you understand what I'm saying? So we need to know all about this kingdom so we can tell this kingdom all about it. Hello, anybody listening to what I'm saying? We are ambassadors for heaven. We're ambassadors for the kingdom of God. So we need to know about the armies of heaven. We need to know about when is the captain of the armies coming back again. We need to have all that information so we can have it over here and share it with the people in this kingdom. That's what it means to be an ambassador. We are ambassadors for Christ. That's why we run these Wednesday nights. That's why I teach the way I teach, so that you will get the information. Now, it's entirely up to you whether you receive it and take it and use it or not. Life is a choice. We are giving it out. It's free. It doesn't cost you anything. We're just doing what we believe God wants us to do. And you can get all of that information from our teaching programs, but you can use it over here and live successfully in the devil's ground. You can live above circumstances. You can live above sickness. You can live at a place where God says you can live. Why? Because you serve the God of this kingdom, not the God of this kingdom. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? See, we are more than conquerors. I don't care what your circumstances are. I don't care what the situation is. I don't care what your husband or your wife says. You are more than a conqueror. You can overcome that situation. Why? Because you're an ambassador for another kingdom. And our whole job as ambassadors is to get as many people as possible turned around, take them into this kingdom. I like what, I think it was it Winky Pratney or one of those American guys, he said, you know, when the rapture comes, he's just going to go, and when he's going up, he's going to grab a couple of sinners and say, "Do you repent or will I let go?" That's how it may have to be. See, people are going to hell and they don't know it. They're having a good time. I mean, you just look at your television or your newspaper, you'll see they're having a great time. They're killing each other. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of God, Son of Man. We're in those days, folks. Jesus is coming again. Whether you believe in him, whether you believe it or not, he's coming. And when he comes, is he going to find, there's a word that he uses, when the Son of Man comes on the earth, will he find faith? That's what the scripture, will he find faith? He's looking for people of faith. And what is faith? Now listen to me. Okay? Believing in the things of God, yeah. But I'll tell you what faith is. A very simple illustration, very simple explanation of faith. Faith is believing what the grace of God has made available to you. See, we talk about faith and say, oh, well, if we had faith for this or we had faith for that. No, faith is simply believing what God says he's made available by his grace. That's all faith is. And it's not difficult. You know, we make faith difficult. We say, oh, well, you know, if you had more faith. No, no, no. Faith is just saying, okay, God, you said it. This is what you said. I believe it. I receive it. Thank you very much. You made it available. Your grace is sufficient. Praise the Lord. All right, look, our time is really, really gone. We need to wind it up. We trust that that has helped you a little bit this afternoon, and you can grow a little more in that. Let me just stop.